This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We got my main man, Eddie Gonzalez, making the city proud like he always does, man. There's a lot going on. I'll save our Canelo on our boxing talk for the text thread. You know what I mean? We'll save that, man, and we'll get to what everybody is waiting to hear, man. We were talking constantly for the last 2 weeks about some of the things that we didn't heard, and you know everything is, man. So I'm gonna just lay back. I'm gonna lay out, and I'm gonna let you just say what it is. Now I'm gonna have my questions ready, but I'm gonna let you just cook. I'm gonna just let you cook.
Man, how much time we got? When's the next break?
We got time. We got time today. Shout out Moneybag.
Look, we've been talking. We've been in consistent conversation, me, you, and D-Lo throughout all of this. So a lot of this stuff is being reported now. Let's talk a little more freely about it. There's a great ESPN article today of Ramona Shelbourne breaks down a lot of stuff. But I started the story in November when I started first hearing chatter of, hey, man, I think the Warriors want your boy. And, like, you hear rumors all the time. NBA talks. I mean, y'all got a great example this week. Y'all was right in the middle of it.
Yeah, right.
But you hear rumors all the time. I can't take every rumor to every guy I know. But this is one. I'm like, maybe I should let Buddy know. Mm-hmm. So I let him know. And he's like, look, I'm happy where I'm at. You know what I'm saying? I'm not thinking about that. And not only am I happy where I'm at, they know I'm happy here. So – they not trading me. It's they can talk. It's fine. I'm like, all right, cool. So that persists though. Like, that's November. We get into December. December is the Jimmy noise. Okay. They get into that. The Warriors get into that as well. And so do the Grizzlies. And so do all the other teams we've heard all week. The Rockets, the Timberwolves. Everybody's trying to find that, right? But I got a lot of messages around that time, too, going, yo, if I'm paying all this for Jimmy Butler, why don't I just wait it out? Because if they don't get Jimmy, then maybe KD's available, and I can get KD for the same price, the same salary. You know, maybe cost us a couple more picks, but why take that when I can get this? It's like, ah, you know, I'm kind of like, yeah, it kind of makes sense. So when the Jimmy market dried up, sure enough, here comes the chatter. Yo, I think the Warriors want your boy. So I let it go because I already know where he stands. I already know he don't want to go nowhere. And I know he don't want to go there. And I know other people know that. People in power. People making these decisions. So I'm like, it's nothing to see. So we fast forward all the way to coming up on the Warriors game, which was last Friday. I believe it was. And it's like the rumors come up again. Hey, I think they might be calling the Suns. I think they might be getting closer. I think they're going to talk to him when he goes out there. So I'm talking to Kay the whole week because anytime he goes to Northern California, I'm getting ticket requests like I'm on the team. So we in chatter. I'm just like, you know, facilitating doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, I'm hearing it again. I'm just letting you know, bro. I ain't worried about that. They know I don't want to go there, and I'm not trying to leave. Always maintain that. It's always been the noise. Game happens. Rich sits next to the owner. I heard there wasn't even a point. He was there with Michael Kaiser, former Atlantic Records head, very infamous, famous music exec. Yeah. So it wasn't had nothing to do with that. Yeah. You know, it just happens. Cool. No chatter. But Saturday, next day, they're in Portland. Kevin flies straight out, straight to the bus, flies straight out to Portland. I start getting calls again. Yo, I think it's getting close.
Oh, man.
Does he know? I'm like, nah. Like, this is somebody I trust. Somebody is really close. I'm like, no. And when I told him, he was not bothered at all. Like, all right. I'm just letting you know, bro. I think it's going to happen. Like, all right. Whatever. Then I get another call in the fourth quarter of the game. He's on the court. Yo, it's like the 5-yard line. You might want to tell him this is the parameters of the trade. Jimmy to Phoenix with Kuminga and some picks. Andrew Wiggins and some picks to Miami. Kevin to Golden State. That trade was reported today on TV. We might have had a convo. I might have let you know. Yeah, like, I heard a little, yeah. You know. Y'all don't got to trust me, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So I said, bro, I'm texting this during the fourth quarter of the game. Okay, cool. The Luka trade happens not but 10 minutes later.
Mm.
So it's going crazy.
Mm.
I get a call from the locker room. Is this real? I'm thinking this is about the Luka trade. I'm like, yeah, it's really happening. He's like, that's not what I'm talking about. Oh, bro, like, I'm pretty sure this is real.
So, hold on, let me pause you right there. You don't have to say, but I'm going to just ask the question. Do you think that, how did he get wind of that? Was that the team, somebody on the team saying like, yo, this might happen?
No. I was just about to say this. I'm here to say, Warrior fans, Suns fans, Heat fans, whomever, I'm pretty sure I'll tip them off. If you mad you didn't get your guy, pretty sure it's my fault. Mm. Pretty sure.
If you didn't intervene, it might have went down. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
If you're on the radio. Crazy. If you're on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. So whatever happened in the next couple of days, some of this is kind of reported, some of this alluded to, but it seems that he eventually reached out, figured out, and eventually was told, yeah. Kind of getting into this. But again.
Hold on. Let me ask you another question real quick. I keep interrupting. But if the Luka trade doesn't happen, do you think that trade happens before you could get to him?
Yeah. I think they weren't connected at all. I don't think the Luka trade is
not connected, but just like that made everybody just kind of stop what they were doing.
I don't think that trade put him more on edge than necessarily the wording of what I said.
Right.
And then subsequently, his ability to confirm that. And then it's just, whoa.
Mm.
So mind you, they're in Portland for 4 days. They fly out Friday night, quick flight from the Bay to Portland, play Saturday, play again Monday. They're there till Tuesday. So they're there the whole time. All this is happening. And my guys at the hotel in Portland.
Mm. Mm.
Did some Portland stuff. I think he went to Nike. Did some famous guy stuff, I'm sure. But all of that's going down. And eventually he's able to, he did confirm. And then eventually, after all this news is coming out, they now are exploring their options a little bit more. Now, believe who you will about who decided to back off or what. It was known very early on. Kevin didn't want to go anywhere. He did not want to go there. Whatever his reasons are, at some point he'll talk. He talked to people over there. I think it was reported he talked to Steph. It's in this story that we were talking about on Twitter from Rona Shelbourne. He talked to Steph. But it was made clear multiple times through multiple avenues. I don't think that was going to stop the trade.
They knew exactly how he felt, and they were ready to proceed.
Yeah, I think the idea was to tell him in the very late stages, but it was getting there. Mm. So it's been a real win week. They finally traded Jimmy Wednesday night. But there was some more offers the next day. Some offers that have been reported. I mean, at some point, you got to find out if you're an opposing team. You got to see. Now, I'm wondering if you're the Miami Heat, you know, is there a more realistic offer you could have made to turn Jimmy Butler into KD? You know, I'm wondering if a team like the Wolves or the Grizzlies, there's a real offer they could have made. Same thing for the Rockets. There's some that had been reported, but what's clear is people were kicking the tires and wanted to know what was what. And so the thing is, here's the thing I'll say, and I don't speak for anybody. That's my perspective of the story, and that's what I know happened that I did. Right. I said, hey, I did like a Kane for Menace on Belly. Like, I got to drop a dime on
it. Drop the dime.
Because he didn't know. Yeah. And I had to let my guy know, like, yeah, I think this is real,
yeah,
and you might want to pay attention. But now the second half of their season, and they have the toughest record in the league, the toughest schedule in the league, second half of the season, is going to turn into, it's already happening. Oh, he's got to be out now. Oh, he's got to be mad now. Oh, what did he know? Who can, is it fixable? Every time Kevin shrugs his shoulders, every time he misses a shot, he throws a pass out of bounds, and he is a turnover prone dude. It's like, oh, he's quitting now. But he's not. He's soldiered up. He's hurt right now trying to get back on the court. He was hurt on the court when he was on it. He's played hurt for this team. He's stood up on the podium and said, I want to be here. I want to retire here. He got a new crib. Like, all this stuff. He's settled in. And so all of that is just like us picking nits in a situation that was created out of nothing. You didn't have to shop KD. Especially, it's not a sure thing. Or the alternative world is you say, hey, Kevin, very early in the process, look, we having trouble making this deal happen. But we've also got some offers in this. And even you can admit, Jimmy and Kuminga and some stuff, four picks. That kind of is what we need, right? Is this something you prefer? Is it something that works for you? Is this okay? Does this work? Yeah. Not that I'm saying his word has to be 100% of the weight either.
Yeah.
You could talk to him and he don't like it and still go, hey, at the end of the day, you're on the contract, buddy, and you got to go. But to not do none of that, you've created this situation out of nothing, out of nowhere, completely avoidable. And now all your players have to deal with this. Now there's reports that the locker room is toxic, and now you got Grayson Allen talking before the game saying the locker room's fine. I'm watching ESPN. Kevin's walking to the locker yesterday, and they're doing it like the Zapruder film. Like, oh, man, he just looks grumpy. Yo, he's in OKC fresh off a nap. He's not playing. He's mad he's not playing. No, he's not playing. You know? What's he supposed to look like? So it's like this is going to happen all season long. And if they miss the playoffs, and they just might. Spurs just got better. I think the Kings are still good. Like, everybody around them, the Warriors definitely just got better. The Lakers just definitely got better.
Man.
Now what? They missed the playoffs, and now it's him. Oh, you was grumpy in them 20 games. And, oh, now you got the team hostage, and now we got to get rid of you this summer. And blah, 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 blah. When all he did was say, yo, I want to stay here. What are y'all doing? And then there, all the everything that comes with that, all the baggage that comes with that, all the what?
Yeah.
That's the story from where I sit. That's the story. A lot of that has been shown and confirmed at this point. A lot of it is now starting to be reported.
Yeah.
So I'm happy I can speak a little more freer on that stuff, but that's how it goes down in this league, man. That's how Luka Doncic is on the plane crying.
Man, there's so much. There's so much there. So first, I'll say I'm just like everybody else, right? Like, and I've said it, and you don't have to confirm if you don't need, but I'm like, oh, okay, well, we headed to the summer of KD. Yeah, we headed to the summer of KD. And at the very least, Will, I think he's going to get moved. But I don't know. That's just my feeling on it. At the very least, the calls and the offers will be coming in nonstop, I think. Even if they're like, I don't think we want to move them. Like, they're going to be tempted with some of the offers that are come through. Is it safe to say that this summer?
I mean, look at it like this. If I know you're selling your car and I like your car, okay, that 73 box Chev, it's worth this much. I know what it's worth. You know what it's worth. It's cold. Got the rims, got the radio, got the speakers, got the whole joint. Now, if I know you selling your car because you have to, because you down bad, you in a way, wifey said you got to get rid of this loud-ass car, price come down a little bit. They're probably like, we knocking a few thousand off now. Now you got to have a little bit.
Now, this is what I would say about De'Aaron Fox in this situation too, is yes, the price goes down if it's just me and you talking. But if I tell you I got five other people that want to buy this thing, you can't haggle with me. Like, I'll just go. Who really wants it right now? Because if you really want, put your best offer out there. I think that's what's going to happen this summer.
And maybe that's what happens. You know, that's the risk you run. Because Houston could just as well say, well, Jalen starting his new extension. So that's all you get now. Take Jalen and a pick. Because I know what they offered, and I know what they and I know he wants to go. So I don't know that. I would imagine teams are gonna be waiting. I would imagine some teams have already said, yo, this summer though. Because look, everybody's restricted by where they're at in the salary cap right now, the apron. Nobody knows where their picks are. Nobody, nothing. But in July, I know what my picks are. I know what free agents I'm renouncing. I can work this different. I can shift some cap around. I have some more cap.
Yeah.
The cap has gone up. Yeah. You're way more movable now. So it's going to come up. And again, that's another situation that's now created out of this for nothing.
And that's the thing that gets me, especially with him. And I could just imagine how he feels. He ain't asked for any of this. He was perfectly fine where he was at. Like, we're in Phoenix. I'm good here. Let's go ahead and do what we can to get better, trying to win a championship and keep it moving. And now
he did a press conference a month ago where it was like they're pressing him. What do y'all got to do to improve the team? He was like, man, look, we could just play better. It's not going to be perfect. That don't mean we quit. We keep working. What do you mean? Like, I'm supposed to just pout around because we waiting on this and that? Like, yo, we show up to work every day and we feel like we can beat everybody every day. He jumped on that sword for you. And he still did that, you know? So it's like, it's just a lot. It's just a lot. And if you created this out of nothing, you've done it. You've alienated other players on your roster as well. You benched your starting center who's in the media complaining. You benched your most recent big pickup. And feel how you want to feel about that. You know, that was the most trade chip you could use, and everybody understood the business of it, but you alienated him in that way as well. He never came off the bench in his life. And so you're fostering this type of environment to where ESPN can be on live on television and say, yeah, it's toxic in that locker room. You know, you've created this. And so, yeah, it's tough. It's tough. And if you're Kevin, you're sitting there like, I just want to hoop. Y'all know I just want to hoop. Y'all know I want to hoop here, actually. And now I got to deal with all this. So, it's a very interesting situation going on over there. I see you getting flagged down. I ain't going.
No. You're good. You're good. My man James Ham, he just pulled up on him. He's got plenty of time to get.
James Ham, the Zach LaVine fan, man.
Right. Right. But we had conversations over the weekend just talking about the nature of how the NBA goes down, man. And we got into a discussion of how much these guys are actually talking to owners and how often it happens and all this other stuff. Is this situation one of those things where Ishbia had to, now we have to have a talk? Or, you know, because that's one of the things that we always talked about here in Sacramento with Fox and Vivek. We was like, yo, it's time for Vivek to have a talk with him. Or is it just still, hey, basketball people do basketball things, and if you have a deal done and you need a final sign off, then that's what I'm here for. Like, did it ever reach that point where ownership had to have a conversation.
Yeah, I believe it was reported that they spoke. I'd imagine they come out and confirm that in some way, shape, or form. But yeah, that level of player, that situation, like, even if you're not necessarily giving them the choice, you give them the, it's a loaded word, but you give them the respect to say, hey, this is what's up.
Yeah.
No different than the Lakers chatter all saying, yo, we called AD first, obviously, because he's getting traded. But then we called LeBron right after, who was sitting with Rich Paul, who's AD's agent, and maybe they're finding out, or they know, or about to know, and tell him. Like, we're going to at least let you know.
Yeah.
We're not going to not give you that. We're not going to blindside you. That's why the report today that Kevin felt blindsided. That's true. I know that's true.
But so.
Because I'm the one.
And I'll bring James Hamm into this, my main man, James.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sam, my main man, Eddie Gonzalez, we all kicking it right now here on D-Lo and KC. And that's what I try to get clarification on just in any situation. When ownership comes through, is it already a done deal a lot of the times? Because you said they're going to let you know, but that's what they're going to do. They're going to let you know what's about to happen, not let you know like, hey, what do you think? A lot of the time. So
yeah, what I think the idea that these players are working the phones and making trades, I think it's very overblown in many situations. This is some input. We have a meetings at some point saying, hey, you similar to what they're saying they did with Luka, like, oh, what you think you need? What kind of what makes works best for what you do? That type of stuff. But are we sitting here running through the 5 trade offers we have and saying, yo, do you want Nick Richards or do you want Caleb Martin? Like, I don't think so. I just don't see that. That's not the type of conversations I've ever had with guys, that type of stuff going on. Yeah. And then, you know, then you have younger players, you know, who are parts of bigger parts of the team and stuff like that, who don't necessarily have that stature. So, yeah, I don't think Vivek is sitting down, De'Aaron Fox, and saying, hey, we got a chance to get, you know, Domas. How you feeling? Or whatever, you know. So I just don't see that. And I think we've seen it play out. We've seen it play out on the biggest of stage with the biggest of guy over the last few days, a few times. I think, you know, unless you're Jimmy Butler going into the office, banging the table, saying, yo, I got to go. That's it, you know.
Yeah. Eddie, real quick, I want to ask Eddie something else about this Phoenix situation. We talk here about De'Aaron Fox and what he went through here in Sacramento. And, man, he went through a lot. And, you know, he had to deal with a bunch of turmoil and all this other stuff. And no wonder he wants to leave. And I know that there's been a little bit more success in Phoenix as far as made the playoffs a couple times, went to an NBA Finals. Like, I'm not disparaging that at all. But what do you think Devin Booker's feeling like? Devin Booker's seen a lot in Phoenix, and I know he's franchised there, and he probably loves it in Phoenix, but there's a lot going on. Like, what do you think his mindset is with once again, even more drama going on in Phoenix?
Well, I mean, I guess there's two ways to weigh it. One way is to say, shoot, end of the day, Jimmy Butler, Jonathan Kuminga, two firsts, two seconds. That's kind of a good haul. You know, not that he's pushing K out the door, but I would imagine if it got that far down the line, you know, he understands and it's no love lost or whatever. But, you know, confusion, because the tagline has always been, we're building around these two guys and this is what we're doing for sure. You know, and how much does I keep getting asked? How much does he know? How much does he not know? I don't know. I don't know Book that well. I mean, we're cool. You know what I mean? I'm not asking him that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. I would imagine at some point the noise gets so loud, he has to text somebody in the front office and say, yo, what's up? Yeah. You know? But, I mean, I think at the end of the day, he just wants the team to be as good as it can be. He was really excited that they got KD. He's really excited to have KD now still. Mm-hmm. Hopeful to be better going forward. And confused like everybody else. Because we're talking about a top, I'll be gracious and I'll say top 10 player, and we're just going to trade him and kind of downgrade, really? Like, that's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot to have to deal with. And I don't think he knew prior to this stuff coming out either. Yeah. I'll say that much. Yeah. So he was just as confused and caught off guard as everybody else.
I think trade season is confusing for players. Like, because I think there's a point where you are part of the discussion. Like, how many times do we hear, you know, again, like here in Sacramento, that the players were told, a handful of players or a couple of players were told very specifically, hey, we got a deal for John Collins, right? And we're just trying to cross all the T's and dot all the I's. But if not that, we're going to go back and check on Cam Johnson one more time, but we already got a deal for John Collins. And then it doesn't happen. And, like, if I'm Devin Booker, like, these guys all play 2K. They're all basketball junkies for the most part. They all can look around and go, hey, that's a nice player, but that player is not going to help me win a championship. So, like, you don't want to be a jerk to your teammates, but at the same time, you know, you can look at your team and assess it honestly and say, hey, look, maybe we get lucky and this thing is just going to rock. And for some reason, we'll catch lightning in a bottle. And next thing you know, we're going to be that next team that's climbing. But you get a month into a season, you get through training camp, and you're looking around like, okay, this clearly is not it. And the player that you guys brought in, like, I've played with six other players just like this dude, and that's not really going to help us. And you start to come to, like, the realization that, like, whatever you're trying to build is just, it's got a ceiling. And I think for players, that becomes really frustrating. When you're young, it's okay because you're like, hey, we're all young, we're getting better, and I can spend a little bit of time, like, growing into this role while we got some of these pieces around us. But as you start to get older and older and your legacy starts to be tied to whether or not your team can improve at the deadline, your financial stability, your, you know, whether you're going to be a max money player or not, is tied to whether your front office can go out and get a 6'8" wing or can't for like the 14th consecutive, you know, opening for, you know, trades. Mm-hmm. And so you start to get a little bummed out about your situation, and you see your friends like Donovan Mitchell and Jason Tatum, guys that you were in the draft with that are either winning championships or at the top of the Eastern Conference standings, and you're saying, why not me? Because I'm still a top, no matter what, no matter how you want to dice this thing, like De'Aaron Fox, Devin Booker, they're top 20 players in the NBA. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're like right there at all NBA status, or they're the two guys, three guys that are right outside of that. That means they're a top 20 player in the league out of 450 plus players. And if you can't get to that next step, I can only imagine the frustration, because every time you miss on an all-star team, every time you miss on an all-NBA team, it's not only money, but it's the potential for you to be a Hall of Fame player. It's a potential mm-hmm. for your legacy as a player to be something that it shouldn't, you know, smaller than what it should be. Even like Sabonis is here. It's just an absolute crime that Sabonis isn't an all-star, but Sabonis as a four-time all-star and a three-time all-NBA player looks way better than as a three-time all-star. Mm-hmm. And if you're not going to make it this year and you didn't make it last year when you have these incredible seasons, you just put your hands up like, I can't do any more and get the notoriety that I think I deserve. And it becomes like a really difficult thing to deal with. I can't imagine being in the offseason going, hey, this is just horrible. Like, as a writer, I love being in Sacramento. I've never wanted to go outside of Sacramento. But if I was someone who wanted to climb and try to eventually get somewhere, like to, you know, go work for the mothership in Connecticut, like, it'd be really frustrating if every time, you know, you got to some certain point, you know, they paired you up with somebody who's just not very good. And you're like, oh, well, this is a bummer. I guess this is what they think of me, or this is where we're going this year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You know, it's a difficult time of year.
I think it's a great point. I think those guys know first, too. You know, I've had combos with guys around the league, and they're the first ones to tell me, oh, this team sucks.
Yeah.
Like, what? It's like, no, like, trust me. We're too small. We're too this. We're too that.
Yeah, real.
And it's like, no, I'm here every day. I'm telling you. Like, I know we're done. All right, whatever. You know, and going back to the deadline, too, you do run a risk. I will say that. You do run a risk of, and we've had a lot of conversations over the past couple of weeks of like, yo, this is what the deal looks like. We had them on here. We're just like, yo, this is what I was told. But things twist, things turn. And Kevin's situation is a perfect example. Jimmy's situation is a perfect example. We thought Golden State was dead in the water. We had loud reports that were said, hey, he doesn't want to resign there, so it's over. Mm-hmm. And then they get him, and he resigns there. He signs contract. So things change so much. I mean, I've had friends in the league who, yeah, they're blindsided by trade. I've had guys who were on the bus. Mm-hmm. On the way to the plane, it's like, oh, you got to get off. You're out. Crazy. You know, Max Christie, he's a friend. I texted him that night. He was like, yo, great opportunity, bro. Like, don't trip. No clue. Nobody's calling Max Christie in that scenario. They're calling Anthony Davis mm-hmm. to say, yo, you know, AJ Johnson. He's killing it in the G League. He's trying to make it up to the Bucks team. He thinks he's going to be on that Bucks team for 4 years. He got drafted there. First round. Everybody felt like he took a reach. No, he's a wizard now.
Yeah.
It happens that fast. And it's like, that's part of the risk you run to say, to go to your guy, John Collins, and say, hey, look, you're in talks. You're going to be out. Mm-hmm. John Collins is still on Jazz now. Right. So you've ruffled his feathers for nothing, and he's still got to play. You know what I mean? So there is some risk to that. And it's trying times for those dudes, stressful times. Man. And – you know, it sucks for them. And now we're in a league where guys are even supposed to be safe. We had Anthony Edwards, Nikola Jokic. We had Kevin, who actually said this before the stuff broke. And many different players in the wake of Luka being traded going, yo, I guess we can all be traded now.
Mm.
Like Joel Embiid, Jason Tatum, all those guys got on the podium and said, yo, it could be any of us. So it's definitely trying times for those dudes. And, you know, I know they cry on 1,000 thread sheet, whatever, pillows, but it's still stressful for sure.
I saw a graphic. I had tweeted it out, and it had Jimmy Butler in a Warriors uniform, Luka in a Lakers jersey, AD Mavs, Kuzma Bucks, Fox Spurs, LaVine, Kings, and like Wiggins and Middleton, all in their new uniforms. And the caption was like, imagine showing this graphic to someone a year ago. And I'm like, that is kind of wild. So like, what just happened in 2 weeks is crazy.
And it's like, more is going to happen this summer. You know how this goes.
Yeah.
More guys will be available. You know, we're already talking to other guys to be available. There's shreds to come. Everybody's saying Giannis is gone. It's over. Like, you know, all this stuff is happening. But that's the NBA. And, you know, remember, we used to have 7-year contracts, and dudes would be sitting on that and making way too much. Way more no trade clauses and stuff like that. So it's a league where I feel like the trades matter the most immediately. I think baseball has an argument as well. Football, they're always a little wary to trade because you have to learn so much. You fit the system, so many different things. But, you know, you can trade for a megastar in the middle of the NBA season, trade for maybe the best player in the league. And that actually happens. And now we're watching the Lakers last night, like, oh, man.
I was telling Dame, man, I said, bro,
they might win the title now.
They got vibes. That move has just injected life into the roster, into the organization, into the fan base, into crypto.com. Like, they, I hate what I'm seeing. I hate what I'm seeing. I ain't gonna lie to you.
If I'm Dallas, I don't know what it would have taken. I don't know what it would have. You don't have to trade them for several years, too. I don't know what that scale would have to say. I don't know what the breathalyzer would have to say. Like, whatever rumors you want to bring up, I don't know what it would have taken. But whatever it would have pushed me across the line, it would have taken more than Anthony Davis, Max Christie, a first round pick.
Yeah, I think.
And then you watch them trade the other assets the next day.
Yeah.
You didn't even get Connect. You didn't get Reeves. You didn't get none of them.
You didn't get the second first round pick that they had hiding. Yeah, I think that's one of those ones that's always going to go down. I mean, clearly, like, we're seeing with the Fox stuff, there's so much more that we know behind the scenes, but also that the players know behind the scenes, the front office knows behind the scenes of the why. How did we get to where we are today? But specifically with Luka, I mean, there's been red flags since he was like a 17, 18-year-old kid driving around Europe doing the same exact thing. And you're always waiting for that moment where he grows up or he figures something out. And I could see it, like, you know, you get to the finals and it's, you're like, okay, look, we made it to the finals. And then he gets there and just gets picked on the entire time, gets absolutely destroyed on the defensive end. All they did was switch and attack. Just him. It was like 70% of the offensive plays were run right at Luka. And you got to at some point go, it doesn't really matter what we put around him. Like, it's going to take him deciding to be a pro, deciding to get in the best shape of his life, you know, give up all the vices, all the craziness that surrounds him, and focus on being a player. And after, what, 6-7 years, you get to a point where you're like, okay, that's never happening. It's 7 years there, right? That's just, it's never going to happen. And I think you have to come to that realization quickly with players. Like, again, Marvin Bagley's in that same draft. He's drafted the pick before. The Kings came to the realization a couple of years ago that Marvin was just never going to be the player that they thought he would. And with Luka, you're always still caught in that, oh man, he's so great. But, and I just don't know that he can ever get there. And like, so yeah, he's going to the Lakers and maybe LeBron has this incredible, you know, relationship with him and gets him in the gym and gets him working. But then again, the second that someone's not babysitting him, does he go back to the same person he was? Because chances are he does. And you're going to be caught in this perpetual cycle of just, you know, the injuries, the lack of defensive acumen because he doesn't have, he's not in good enough shape to play defense half the time. And yeah, he's great, but he's always great with an asterisk as opposed to some of these other players that, you know, you're just like, okay, I don't have any of those questions about Jokic. Even when he gets big, he's still absolutely unbelievable. With Luka, I don't know that he holds up.
You know, and everything that you said, I agree with, and I understand. There is a certain box office appeal, though. Like the other, like, for instance, if the Lakers would have traded for Jokic, they would have been a better team this year. Maybe they would have won a championship. But you got like, did you see Crypto last night? Like, Luka wasn't even playing. Luka wasn't even playing, and you could feel it off the screen, the life that had been injected into that. Luka's just, he's box office. He's box office.
I hear the basketball concerns. I really do. They were a top three defense after the break last year. Haralabov Olgaris, former Mavericks employee, had a great tweet about this, kind of broke the stand, but they found ways to defend. Now, am I upset that he can't defend Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum on an island in a five-out offense? Kind of. But we are talking about the finals, and we are talking about he got there. It only took five games to beat the Thunder. It took six to beat the Wolves. It might be the other way around. I don't have it in front of me. But they got there relatively easy, and he is a historic offense unto himself, and he's 25. Mm-hmm. And now he's seen it. He's seen what it looks like. We've seen defensive liabilities in the finals do just fine. Mm. Kyrie Irving is his former teammate. You're going to have to deal with now. Stephen Curry, who developed to be a little bit better of a defender. Like, I don't scream at me Warriors fans, but he was the pick. The guy was getting picked on. He was the smallest guy. We watched it with Jokic multiple seasons. I don't know that that's enough for me to just bow out of the Luka Doncic experience. Maybe there's more. Maybe it is the money. Is he a defensive liability in the worst game possible? For sure. But we are talking about the finals. A team that wasn't necessarily picked to make the finals went up against defensive gauntlets on the way there. What I always say about this is the guy who wins the defensive player of the year, we very rarely rank him as the best guy in the league. Mm. Very rarely. The guy who leads the league in scoring, like Luka just did last year, oh, he's a bad dude. That's a top five dude. He led the league in scoring last year, a pretty historic season, and seems to only get better. I get what you're saying about the concerns, and clearly the Mavericks had those concerns, and they looked at that and said, yo, we need three more wins of defense to win a title. I'd rather be there than trying to figure out where we find historic offense at for this team. And that's just my counter to that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
And to trade him in conference, to trade him to a rival, to trade him to a team that's ready made to win a championship. Are you going to go watch the Lakers win a title with Luka and LeBron before you make a conference final? Like, that's a bullet you'll have to bite. That's why you see Nico Harrison on the podium say, "I might get fired for this." To me, here's the thing. And this is kind of I know we're beating a dead horse at this point, but to only call the Lakers, like, you didn't call Philly, you didn't call Milwaukee. Like, if we're just going to swap stars, I got to see somebody that's in their 20s? Can I ask about Jason Tatum? Can I ask about Shea? Mm-hmm. Like, I got to ask about some of these guys.
Jaylen Brown, something like that. Like
go get Jaylen Brown. And we're going to sacrifice this dude. We don't want to pay him $350 million. Like, okay. But let's get another dude we might want to pay that. He's on a better contract.
On top of that.
That's just crazy.
Has Nico watched the NBA for the last 40 years? Why would you send him to the Lakers? Like, why?
You're going to pay for it.
What are you doing?
Yeah. He's going to win. You know he is.
That was ridiculous. I did have a question. Now, this was before I watched them last night where things changed, and we got like 30 seconds. But I had a question. Maybe we'll talk about this next week about who in 5 years, what are the five best teams in the NBA? And I didn't have the Lakers in there. I had Thunder. I put the Knicks there. I had the Spurs, Rockets, and
what Cavs.
Was the other team? I didn't have the Cavs there either. What was the other team? The Celtics.
Oh,
makes sense.
Knicks were the only one that, like, yeah, maybe you could change my mind on. But I think the Rockets got everything. Mm-hmm. I think the Rockets, they got it all.
I said it before the season. You guys thought I was crazy. I said this is the most talented team in the NBA, and you're like, more talented than OKC? And I said, yeah, they're more talented than anyone. They're just younger.
Yeah.
And like, Boston is another beast, but the most talented young team in the NBA, bar none, and they have everything.
Yeah, they got talent and assets.
They're
and that
overwhelming
man,
when you watch them.
And that man,
athleticism is overwhelming.
Yes.
A man is, if he ever get with if he ever get a Dr. Dish in that gym and start working on that jump, it's crazy. It's over. It's over. Yeah. Eddie, man.
You got to call Minnesota. You got to call Minnesota. If
yeah, you come on. Give me in. Just don't trade him to the damn Lakers. I can't believe that happened, man. Eddie, awesome. You the GOAT, man. Like you said last night on the stories, now you can chill out. Now the group chat just go back to regular, at least for like 2 months, because then it's about to pick back up again. So, you know what I mean?
Don't remind me. Don't remind me.
Hey, you, mama, you the man. You. Hey, if you.
Work with me. I mean, I know I was late.
Nah, you good. You good. If you get out of here for All-Star, man, come on, man. We got a link. We got a link for
I'll
sure.
I'll tap in for sure, man. All right. Good seeing you guys.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.